This is a CBC podcast.
Support for delivery of this podcast comes from the Buick Enclave, the finest luxury crossover ever. Visit buick.gm.ca to see that where there's passion, there's beauty.
I'm Pedro Mendez, and this is Editor's Choice. On today's podcast, And Sometimes Why host Jane Farrow takes a look at linguistic fingerprints. That's the combination of voice and phrasing that may be unique to individuals. But computers may soon be able to replicate the human voice. And this could potentially be, of course, a tool for evil. Jane Farrow gets to the bottom of this possible security breach.
This is the Agent Voice Verification Service. To confirm your identity, please say your officer ID number after the tone.
863974.
Verification successful. After the tone, please continue with your call.
It's called voice biometric technology. The idea behind it's pretty straightforward. We all speak and sound differently. And biometric technology has progressed to the point that our voices can be used as passwords, say when we're doing banking over the phone. Just last year, Bell Canada started collecting customers' voice samples to use as security passes. One company developing voice print technology is Diaphonics. It's based in Halifax.
Everyone's voice is quite unique. There really is nobody else in the world that would have exactly the same voice model as you.
Jeremy Bernard is the Diaphonics Vice President of Marketing and Business Development.
With fingerprint measuring, you're measuring a physical characteristic of an individual. And in effect, with voice biometrics, we're doing the same thing. We're measuring the physical characteristics of the way you speak, such as your pitch, intonation, essentially measuring characteristics of your vocal tract. So that's a physical measurement of an individual's voice. But we're also adding in some behavioral characteristics, like how long it takes you to say certain words, certain phrases, and even your pitch and intonation on specific syllables.
So tell me how secure the voice model fingerprint is.
In a typical live, real-world deployment, what we would see would be something like 99% accuracy. Approximately 1% of callers would either have to go through the system again and provide another voice sample or be pushed off to a live operator.
So when you look into the crystal ball there in the future of voice-activated security, what do you see?
You may recall when Martha Stewart was incarcerated at home that she was required to wear an ankle bracelet.
Yes.
We've come up with what we believe is a better solution to that, and that involves our system placing a call to the individual's home. And when they answer the phone, we verify their identity with our voice biometrics and create a recording of that. So the law enforcement agency will know not only was the phone answered at the home, but it was answered by the correct person and that they have a record of that.
According to David Howard, voice prints will soon be vulnerable to security breaches. He warns that within a decade or so, computer technology will be able to replicate human voices perfectly. David Howard is a professor of electrical engineering at the University of York in England.
Hello there.
Before we skip ahead to the future, David, I was wondering if you could tell me how good computers are right now at replicating the human voice.
If you listen to a computer now that's speaking to you, you almost always know it's a computer. It's very rare that you would mistake a computer as being a human being. And that's because we've been looking in research at making them intelligible, so you understand what they're saying. And we haven't yet sorted out how to make them sound like human beings. That's the big step.
So, what kinds of things are missing from that computer voice that would make it sound human?
Well, some people say the problem is actually it's too good. There are imperfections in our voices, you know, bits of saliva going down the throat, just change the way the vibrations happen.
Stuttering, hesitations.
That's right. And we don't do that with the computer. We try and make it really good so that we can really hear the message. And our brains know that that's not really a human at the other end.
So how are you going to change this with your technology? How are you going to simulate the human voice more accurately?
Well, the key thing to simulating a particular person is to know something about the tubes that make up their vocal system. So we have the vibrations in the larynx, the vocal folds vibrate, and above that the sound comes through the mouth and sometimes the nose, and that's the sound that you're hearing now as I speak to you.
Okay.
And the tube I have is very particular to David Howard. It is my tube. So another man of the same age from the same area won't sound exactly the same. So the key is in the detailed changes inside my tube. And that's what we're getting at. And that's how we're beginning to do synthesis, by actually modelling these tubes in the computer and making them speak.
And like pushing the sound through it to simulate that?
That's exactly right. We've got this simulated tube and we put a sound through it that's just like a human larynx sound. And at the other end, we've got what we call a virtual microphone. We've got a place where we can tap that sound off and then play it back. And what you hear is a sound that is much more human.
Wow. What are the implications of this if a computer can perfectly replicate a human voice?
Right. Well, the key first thing to note is that we've got some way to go before we can make these things produce speech. At the moment, they're producing vowels. And the key thing is they can produce diphthongs. They can make the changing vowels, vowels, diphthongs like I and ear, where the vocal tract moves. And from an engineering point of view, that has been one of the most crucial things to get sorted out before we can think about the full speech, the full gamut of speech. But if we do roll ahead 10, 15 years, when I believe we'll have had the time to get these things sorted out, and we're in a position where anybody could synthesize anybody else saying any message, then one possibility is that if you were unfortunate enough to lose your larynx through larynx cancer, so they had to take your larynx out, you could actually be given your original voice back. So instead of using an electronic buzzing device, you would get your own voice back and you could be the real you. So there's a lot of positive, but of course, to every positive, there's always a negative. This kind of technology in the wrong hands could, for example, mean that I could synthesize your bank manager ringing you up to get your bank details, or your loved one ringing you up either to play a joke or to ask you things that you would only tell that person.
So,
or at a much bigger level, you perhaps could imagine that you could take on the voice of a national leader or the head of the armed forces, take over a communications channel, and then could be broadcasting somebody, a leader, saying what you want them to say, and you have a sort of scenario of vocal terrorism.
Well, it's sort of like really old school James Bond.
It is really, yes,
Dr.
That's
Evil,
right.
Really, like, you feel that this vocal ID stuff could really go in that direction?
I believe it could, yes, because the key to it is this business of dealing with the tubes, the models of the vocal tract. Synthesis at the moment doesn't use tubes, it uses an acoustic model that was generated back in the 1950s, which has served us extremely well and means we can produce this highly intelligible speech. But what it doesn't do is allow us to model what in engineering terms we call the second order effects, what's actually really happening to a rather lower level, but so important to our ears to have that information in order for them to believe it's from a human.
Well, thank you very much, David. Very interesting talking to you.
That was And Sometimes Why host Jane Farrow. For Editor's Choice, I'm Pedro Mendez.
Hi, I'm Jesse Brown. I'm the host of Search Engine, a new CBC radio show that is all about how the internet is changing politics and culture. It's not a gadget show. We don't really care much about technology so much as we care about the effect that technology is having on the world that we live in. All of the surprising and significant and funny stories that we bring you on Search Engine are about things that are happening right now. In the short time that we've been on the air, we've already become the CBC's most popular news podcast in the States. So come find out why. Subscribe to our podcast on CBC's podcasting page or through iTunes.